Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Crystal R., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Toronto, Canada. Today is Monday, April 8th, 2024. This is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Vision for You Big Book meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in the chapter Bill's Story on page 12, fifth paragraph, beginning with, "Thus was I convinced," reading through that one paragraph ending with, "A new world came into view." Today's readers are Tricia D. for the 12 steps, Naomi G.B. for the 12 traditions, Ian F. will be reading the text, and Tamara C. will read page 164. Our newcomer greeter will be Tony B., and our second hour host today will be Leah S. The reference number for yesterday, Sunday, April 7th, 8:30 a.m., special edition meeting is 21,291. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, to carry the message of recovery to the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Tricia D. to read the 12 steps.
This is Tricia D. from Georgia, and these are the 12 steps. We admitted, number one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. To another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you. Thank you for service, and on pass.
Thanks so much, Tricia D. I will now ask Naomi G.B. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everyone. Naomi G.B., a compulsive overeater, Ontario, Canada. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Well, thank you for the opportunity to do service. I pass. Thanks, and have a great day, everyone.
Thank you, Naomi GB. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book in the chapter Bill's Story on page 12, fifth paragraph, which begins with, "Thus was I convinced," and ends with, "A new world came into view." We will be commenting on that one paragraph. I will now ask Ian F. to begin the reading.
Hey, Ian F., also a reader out of Louisville, Kentucky. Was I convinced that God is concerned with us humans when we want Him enough? At long last, I saw, I felt, I believed. Scales of pride and prejudice fell from my eyes. A new world came into view. Man, that idea of He's concerned with us humans when we want Him enough. Not about how big our problems are. It can be little stuff too. I find people come into the programs when they're desperate because we don't want a higher power until we're desperate enough to want a higher power. So we've gone through enough pain or enough eating, enough starving, whatever it is. And that idea of scales, like in recovery, I can no longer afford to be judgmental myself or of anyone else. In or out of the rooms. The miracle of this is that we're willing to let that analytical mind that we have, I should say, my analytical mind that I have, that I need to always have the answers, that I need to know exactly what's going on, that I need to be able to fix everything. And I need to just go to a higher power that I don't understand and say, I'm here. Tell me what I need to do. And once that's done, that's freedom. So that's all I got. I'll pass. Love y'all.
All right. Thanks so much, Ian F., for getting us started. We are now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday last week on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to approximately 3 minutes to allow as many people as possible to share. I'll remind you when you're at 3 minutes, so please wrap up your share as best you can. Who would like to share today?
Harlan G.
Christina J.
Tamara C.
Shanna C.
All right, I've got Harlan, Christina, Tamara, Shanna. Anybody else would like to share?
Silvana G.
Is it Silvana?
Yes.
All right, I can take a few more names.
Sue A.
I got you, Sue A. Anybody else?
Chris G.
All right, Chris G. Let's... Sorry, I didn't say that last name. Could you say that again, please?
Maya K.
Perfect. All right, let's stop there. I've got Harlan G., Christina J., Tamara C., Shanna C., Silvana G., Sue A., Chris G., and Maya K. All right, so let's please give us the first name. Give us your first name, the initial of your last name, and your location when you share so we can find you on the member list. I'll now ask everyone to please press star 1 to mute your line, and we'll get started with Harlan G., followed by Christina J.
Thank you very much.
Morning,
Chris,
Harlan.
Thank you, Chris, for your service this morning. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. This paragraph, this little paragraph, is a paragraph commemorating a change in the world that will never, ever be duplicated in the world of addiction. This is the moment in time where the confluence of the problem met the solution. Bill Wilson knew the problem of alcoholism. He learned from Silkworth that it is an allergy of the body and it is a twist of the mind. He learns now from Ebby that there is a spiritual solution. Ebby didn't know the problem. Bill didn't know the solution. In this one person, Bill Wilson, he now knows the problem and the solution. Let's take a look. Thus was I convinced, because in all the previous paragraphs that he's looking at Ebby since the bottom of page 8, he is fighting with this idea of a God or a spiritually based solution. He is now convinced that God is concerned with us humans when we want him enough. How do we demonstrate that we want him enough? We demonstrate it by taking action. At long last, I saw. What did he see? He saw recovery. Bill had been hospitalized twice before. He saw alcoholics, moderate drinkers, and heavy drinkers not drinking. The alcoholics were very miserable in not drinking. He was miserable in not drinking, but Ebby was happy in his release. He saw recovery. What did he feel? He felt hope. And what did he believe that God could and would if God were sought? He now has saw recovery, felt hope, believe that God could and would if he were sought. And how do you seek him? You seek him by working the steps, which he will do on page 13. But the bottom line is, he says here, scales of pride and prejudice fell from my eyes, which means no longer was he fighting this idea of a spiritually based solution. The step 2 that he takes here is very simple. All he needs to do is be willing to believe that there is a power greater than himself. He doesn't have to believe or understand. He doesn't have to become a theologian. He doesn't have to become a philosopher. All he needs to do is be willing to believe that there's a power greater than himself. What is the last part of this? A new world came into view. And for thousands and thousands and thousands of unborn generations, this new world is now viewable. It is now tangible because we can now take the problem of addiction, match it with the spiritual solution, and live productive lives. At long last, I saw recovery. I felt hope. I believe that God could and would if he were sought. This changed the world forever. There will never be a day that dawns where we don't have a solution. And for thousands of years, there was no solution. You just died. You just got in jail. You just were locked up in mental institutions. And today, there is hope.
Time, please.
Today, there is a spiritual solution. Thank you for your service, Crystal. With that, I'll pass. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Harlan G. from Arizona. Next, we have Christina J., followed by Tamara C.
Good morning, Crystal. Christina J. from North Carolina. I believed, I finally believe, that this power can take care of my life. I've been in the way for 100 years. Not quite 100, but it took me a long time because I came out of the womb doing. Do. I was going to take care of everything. Funny thing is, I carried God around with me all the time. I had spiritual experiences. I had wonderful revelations of my life as I went through life. But I never could figure out, as many of us, this food issue. You know, I figured it was, you know, a brain chemistry issue. I didn't know. And finally, God led me to program, and I began to realize I had an allergy to this food. Like Harlan said, until I take action in these steps, I'm just going to keep floundering about. I can sit around and believe all my life, but unless I take action towards this program, which to me is a spiritually based program towards the higher power within each of us that helps us. And I remember standing outside of my house when I was 60. It was raining in the early morning, and I was so frustrated because my career was falling apart, and I couldn't figure out how to put it back together again. I just heard, surrender, give it to me. I'm in charge. You are not in charge anymore. And, you know, this was not a mean voice. This was like, I've taken away the money. You can't spend any more money on it. You can't try to make it happen in any way, shape, or form. You have to surrender. And today, what that means to me is that, as many of you know, we just walk and we listen and we get everything out of the way so we can hear this voice. We can hear this guidance. A new world came into view for me when I stood outside in the rain that day. It was like the first time I realized, oh, I don't have to control everything. I don't have to try to make this happen. And it was kind of painful because I've been used to making everything happen. And from then until now, it's been revelation after revelation and relapse after relapse, which has finally taught me that unless I give everything to God and get everything out of the way, including my crazy mind and thoughts, I'm never going to hear him. I'm never going to know what he wants me to do. So I can relax. I don't have to have fear about anything. This is the new view. I don't have to have fear. I can just go about my day doing as I know he would have me do and be, asking in the morning meditation, how would you have me do and be today? So this is the belief for me, is to let God have the reins and to take the actions I need to stay clean from my crazy brain and to keep the food down. And as far as God being concerned with us, I think he's always concerned. He wants his children home. He wants to connect with us. Think about a parent that wants to have their children call them and talk to them and be with them and pray with them. And you know what I mean? I mean, it's just like God's concerned about my food. Why? Because it gets in the way of my relationship with him. Love you all. I pass.
Thank you, Christina J. from North Carolina. Next, we have Tamara C., followed by Shanna C.
Thank you, Crystal. Good morning, everyone. This is Tamara C., recovered compulsive overeater in Missouri. For me, like, this word, thus, I come to thus. I believe that God is concerned with me. What's really key is it happened because Ebby suggested this idea that I could choose my own conception of a higher power. So that my higher power could be personal to me. And this makes me able to take some ownership of my flawed conception of God so that I can't just sit here in self-pity and despair and use the excuse and blame God because God doesn't really understand me. God doesn't really care about me. He hasn't really done a good job taking care of me. It challenges that. My sponsor gave me a writing exercise that helped me learn what I personally need in a higher power. And I am discovering that I do things. I have a God who sees me, hears me, is interested in me, is eager to help me force it. So I am coming to live in a new world where I'm never alone, and something greater than me values me, loves me, guides me, and provides all I need to do God's will. But for me, this new world is gradually coming into view. I just keep living in the steps, keep practicing what I'm learning, and becoming more aware. When my pride and prejudice comes up, I keep taking inventory, I keep pausing, turning to my higher power, reviewing my day, asking God for help and growing in my new understanding. And sometimes I forget how far God has brought me. Like when I first came to OA, I had this fantasy that I would work the steps and then wake up one morning and God would have removed all my defects of character. And that's not the way that it's happening for me. But when I pause and look back, I can see the miracles of there has been a drastic change. And I will always be growing. I'm always meant to be growing and learning. But it has been such a huge shift in my way of living that it's obviously a miracle that I couldn't do for myself. I'll pass with that. Thanks.
Thanks, Tamara C. from Missouri. Next, we have Shana C., followed by Silvana G.
Good morning, Crystal and everyone. Thanks so much. This is Shana C., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Knoxville, Tennessee, and grateful to be on the line and for all of your service. You know, that through some of the shares and stuff that I've heard, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to drop the mic here and leave this and not get in the way because everything that has been shared has been so great. But what has kept coming to my mind with regard to wanting God enough, that He is concerned with us when we want Him enough. The only thing that made me want God enough was the pain of the disease, the pain of knowing that I'm basically, I'm absolutely powerless, and I'm going to eat myself to death until something happens, until I'm changed somehow. And the cool thing is through, you know, it talks about other parts in the book, you know, circumstances make us willing to believe. You know, there were times that just things just line up. Like I could tell that there was something way bigger than me that cared more about me than I cared for myself. And lined things up for me that I couldn't explain, you know, like the last time I begged God for help, truly desperate. And then somehow ended up on the phone of A Vision for You and ended up talking with a woman who just shared her story, who just so happened to have an opening for sponsorship that week, who read my mail. You know, I became willing to believe through those little circumstances that there was a God that cared about me, cared about this, and knew it was killing me, and I couldn't help myself anymore. What really, really hit home for me, especially over the past couple of days through prayer and meditation, has been the use of the tools of the program, whatever they are, whatever, they're wonderful, wonderful, wonderful tools. But what enabled me to be able to utilize the tools effectively was that surrender to the fact that if I want God enough, I've got to be willing to help His kids. I've got to be willing to help other people like me who have this same problem find a solution to help them through the steps too. Whether I think I'm good enough to do it or not doesn't really matter. If I go through these steps, I see the problem, I qualify, you know, and then I get in armed with the facts about myself and I'm practicing the solution by staying in the steps, I'm being given power to help others. I become a recovered person and I've been given the power to help others. And then I get to effectively use the tools to keep me abstinent. You know, for so long I was trying to use the tools without the power of God. Doesn't work that way for me. But anyway, so grateful to be here. Thanks for allowing me to share. It's a wonderful Monday morning and wonderful abstinent day. Thanks.
Thanks, Shana C. Next we have Silvana G, followed by Sue A.
Good morning. My name is Silvana G. I am a compulsive overeater. And at long last, I believed. I believed a little. And then I did the steps. And then now God really is for me. And this program for me is a defense from the pride and prejudice that I wake up with every morning. And to be able to have a place where I can have a mirror that shows me where my pride and prejudice is, gives me a whole new view, and there's a whole new world that comes into in my life, and part of that is just feeling empathy for people, or it allows me to when I got a new view of the, like it says, a new world came into view, my behaviors changed. It wasn't just that I got a whole new view, it was the fact that I'm trusting more, I want to serve people more. It becomes less and less about me and and what I can do for myself. My view gets, and as I continue in recovery, my view gets brighter and brighter. It gets brighter and brighter, and I want a sponsor. Before, I didn't want to do any of this. I just wanted a diet, really. I just wanted to lose weight, really. I mean, that was the bottom line for me. And I ended up getting so much more with this new view. I mean, I don't ever want to go back to that old view where, I valued the weight loss more than anything, even more than, people. I just don't ever want to go back to the old views that I had, because, I just don't want to be that. And so I will stay in recovery, and never let go of God. Pass.
Thanks so much, Silvana G. Next, we have Sue A, followed by Chris G.
Hi, Sue A here from Delaware. I am 2 weeks abstinent. I would say I am trying so hard. I'm so uncomfortable. I feel like I'm in so much pain right now. I want God, but to let power in my own control, there's so much fear. I feel like it's the only thing I've ever had, and has it worked for me? No. To find a power greater than myself. I've always felt like I need to control everything. And I know I've put down the food, and I need to pick up God, but it's just so confusing. I'm 34, or I came in when I was 34, and I'm 63, and I'm shaking. I want this. And I'm grateful I've got a sponsor. And I've done everything that she said, and we're just starting in We Agnostics. And, I've been following along for a couple weeks since you all have been in Bill's story. And, I really want this, but to let go, it's super difficult. And I'm finding I'm really uncomfortable. And I'm just grateful to be here. Thanks, everybody, for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Sue A. from Delaware. Glad you're here at the meeting. Next, we've got Chris G., followed by Maya K.
Hi, this is Chris G. from California. Yes, I believed this experience that I had after 17 years of trying to control and manage in OA, not realizing that I could actually be a recovered compulsive overeater. For all those years, I would identify as, I'm a recovering compulsive overeater, because I never felt recovered. I never was recovered, even though I had worked the steps many times. And it wasn't until I was in a meeting where I heard people sharing and identifying that they were recovered compulsive overeater. And when I heard that, I wanted that. It was because, you know, they shared that they were recovered. They were carrying the message that it was possible. That, for me, was the hope. Like, wow, it's actually a thing. You could be a recovered compulsive overeater. You could have freedom from the obsession and food neutrality. Like, that was a blow mind for me. And so that piece of hope helped me become willing to seek, because I knew then it was possible. And so then I became willing to just do whatever my sponsor had guided me to do, you know, go through a hospitalization period, you know, let go of all of the foods and behaviors that were problematic, follow a food plan from a nutritionist that didn't come from my own brain. That was amazing to me. And that was part of my letting go of trying to control. I was just trying to control so much for so long. But I really believed that this was possible because of all of you and all of the people who are recovered, who are carrying the message accurately. It helped me learn that I need to be honest. I'm willing. And the miracle is happening for me. I'm about over 100 days of entire abstinence, and a whole new world has come into view. It is real. It is happening. And I think carrying the message is just such a beautiful responsibility I have now, because that's how I was gifted with the hope. And so we can all give that hope to people who are still suffering. So thank you for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Chris G. from California. Next, we have Maya K., and then I'll be taking another list of names.
Hi, this is Maya Kay from New York, compulsive overeater and bulimic. I really like this paragraph, and everybody's commenting on it. What really hit me, I guess, thinking about this is I always believed in God, but when I came into the program and it said, you know, it said in the steps, you know, to believe in a higher power, it meant like, okay, believe in these steps. And then I looked at the steps and I was like, what? I have to do this, you know? So it just gave me a completely different relationship with God, of my understanding. And I didn't grow up religious. I just believed in God, a loving God. But I didn't know how to have the right relationship with this God, especially with the food. And I was so desperate, I was willing to try anything. Even, you know, I didn't understand what food had to do with making amends and all that stuff, but I was really beat into desperation, and I did whatever I had to. And, you know, it's 35 years later, and I'm just grateful, and I'm sitting here accepting whatever is in front of me, the pain that's in front of me, and just saying, this is God's will. I'm grateful that I can, you know, be there for someone and not have to give my advice. You know, I used to have to control everything. I thought it was all something I had to fix. And now I can say, you know, I'll put you in my God can, or, you know, or I could just always ask God first, like talk through me, or I give things to God before I try to figure things out. And I just trust more. I'm just glad about that, because everything seems to work out that way. And it takes away a lot of the fear. So I go through that over and over again, where, you know, I get afraid, and then I call my sponsor, and she's like, you know, why pray if you're going to worry? Why worry if you're going to pray? So, you know, and I still just have this kind of generic God, my dad would say, God is love. And that God is always there, and I'd always write in my journal. But I have a totally different relationship where I'm not telling God what to do and trying, and, you know, but I can still say anything I feel, and, you know, just going through the steps and trying to, you know, be helpful and clean my side of the street and be honest with my food and just do what I can, be willing as I can, you know, wherever I need to be willing. And, you know, and I am, like, I have some painful feelings. I just let them kind of move through me and trust, like, in, like I think of the big book, acceptance is everything is where it's supposed to be. And so I guess that's really all I have to share. Thanks.
Thanks so much. Maya Kay from New York. Before we continue, let me remind everyone where we're at. We are in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter Bill's Story on page 12, the fifth paragraph, beginning with, "Thus was I convinced," reading through that one paragraph, ending with, "A new world came into view," and we are commenting on that one paragraph. Now I'll take another set of names. If you haven't shared in the last few days, we'd love to hear from you. Who would like to share?
Elena Karen K.
From Toledo.
Okay, I've got Elena C., Aaron K., and who is the person from Toledo?
Jim S.
Thank you, Jim S. or Jim F., I'm not sure, and you can just clarify that.
S. Sam.
Sam, perfect. Okay. Anyone else would like to share?
Carrie F.
Is that Carrie F.?
Sherry with an S.
Sherry S., all right. Sorry, there's one more person who's saying something, but your audio is getting cut off. Could you say your name again, please?
Sarah P.
Is it Sarah?
Yes.
Okay, Sarah, perfect. So I've got Elena C., Aaron K., Jim S., Sherry S., and Sarah. Would anybody else like to share? Actually, I think let's stop there, and we'll see if we have time for more people. So I'm going to ask everybody to please press star 1 to mute your line. And we'll get started with Elena C., followed by Aaron K. If you could tell us your name, your first initial of your last name, and where you're calling from so we can find you on the member list. Go ahead, Elena C.
Good morning. My name is Elena C. from South Carolina. Recover for today. Thank you so much, moderator. Thank you for all your comments. This is such a powerful paragraph, like other paragraphs, actually, not only this one. But, you know, just like other people were saying, what in this paragraph, Bill is experiencing a profound transformation. And, you know, I hear when they say, At long last, I saw, I felt, I believed. So here's what I hear, and certainly I can relate to that. I saw, he saw, and he heard Abby. He saw Abby's transformation. And then he started to feel something, perhaps his energy, perhaps the fact that Abby believed in a power greater than himself, you know, and then he felt that, and perhaps he started to feel for himself. And then lastly, he believed. And what happened after that, the scales of pride and prejudice fell from my eyes. Pride and prejudice, ego and judgment. And I think what he refers to here, prejudice against the religion of his upbringing, because we already know that that was not that appealing to him. And it was true for me, you know, the religion of my upbringing had me believe that God would punish me should I sin. And sin made, meaning I made a mistake, you know, and that's what I believed in. And it was so scary. Too, because I'm like, well, you know, how come I'm going to believe in something that's punishing me? And yet, this is not it, is it? And let's not forget that in the chapters we agnostics, Bill speaks about lay aside any prejudice against organized religion. And I had to do that. I had to do that to fully grasp step two. Because, and you know, the chapter speaks more and more about every religion in this world is bringing something beautiful to the world, and I better believe it. And that's how Bill apparently was fully grasped up to, and that's what helps me, you know, to do that. And then what happens after that? A new world came into view. Oh, my God. And better believe, everybody, that this is possible. Stay in the 12 steps of recovery. Get the amazing God of your understanding or
non-understanding.
And the new world will be possible. The word that blows my mind every day. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Elena C. from South Carolina. Next, we've got Aaron K., followed by Jim S.
Morning, Crystal. Morning, everybody. This is Aaron K., recovered compulsive overeater in Michigan. You know, I was so, so afraid to surrender. And until I realized, or I kind of had this thought that, you know, I could just look at this like an experiment. You know, when we read this, the way that this book is worded, it's really making suggestions. It doesn't give mandates. It says, you know, we had no power to stop and stay stopped. But here's what we did to get connected to a power that allowed us to stop and stayed stopped. And we put this experiment in action in our own lives. And Bill's kind of talking about, you know, looking for the evidence of change. Is this working? And he says, I saw, I felt, I believed, and a new world came into view. And it's like, you know, when you do an experiment, you tweak something, you make a change, and then you measure, you know, is this working? And, you know, I think the book tells us, it kind of gives us a measuring stick. You know, we go from the bedevilments on page 52, trouble with personal relationships, we're wildly emotional, we're miserable, we're depressed, we have financial problems. And first and foremost, you know, we're full of fear and we're useless. We can't be real help to other people. And then comes surrender, working these steps, learning how in a moment of fear, of discomfort, to turn to God instead of the food. And then we try to open our eyes and look for these promises on page 83. Do we feel free, happy, lose regret, understand what it means to be serene and peaceful? We are no longer useless, stuck in self-pity. Our interests naturally evolve out of the self, and we get interested in the people around us. We learn to trust God to you know, take care of us. And that, you know, opens us up to being able to help other people. And we intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. And we realize that God does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And it's like, it's an experiment. What have you got to lose? You know, I think that this scary, you know, it's, we have to lose our pride. We lose our prejudice, but we also can put down the painful burden of our self-obsession. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Aaron K. from Michigan. Next, we have Jim S. from Toledo, followed by Sherry S.
Good morning. This is Jim S. from Toledo, Ohio. I was disqualified from this program when I went to bed last night. And I had a dream about recovery. And everything was laid out to me just the way it's supposed to be. So I decided to get on the meeting And everything that everyone's speaking about includes me. I have no idea why my higher power decided to reveal this solution to me this way, but it is what it is. So I'm just glad to be part of the solution. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim S. from Ohio. Next, we've got Sherry S., followed by Sarah.
Hi, this is Sherry S., recovered in Wisconsin. And this paragraph, they're all good, but I thought that I was insignificant, and that God wouldn't take the time to spend with me, which is perpetuating, past life experiences, and the disease likes to tell me I'm insignificant as well. And I had to get desperate enough to want the change, because I was going to bed at night praying that God would just take me in my sleep, because I didn't want to live this way anymore. And someone from a vision struck me honest, I guess is maybe a good way to put it. They helped me see the truth that God was there for me if I wanted him. And now that I'm doing the daily practice and connecting with my higher power and being of service and working the steps on a regular basis, that huge hole that I had in my life that made me feel like I was insignificant, broken, unwanted, is gone. That's gone because I connected with my higher power and I have a relationship with him. And that is the most important relationship I have. I didn't think that was possible because I felt broken and insignificant my entire life. I don't feel that way today. That's because of these steps. That's because of that connection. So when I have emotions that, make me feel like I'm not good enough or irritated because someone's not doing what I want them to do, I can turn to God and God takes that away. My life is easier today because I'm abstinent and working the program. It's so much easier. I don't have to fight for things. God's providing for me, giving me more than I thought possible. And that is the miracle of this program and that spiritual connection, that it doesn't matter what I call my God. It's a personal connection, and it's there, and it's so fulfilling. So if you're struggling, just trust that there's something there. That has helped me tremendously, and it has truly transformed my life. And it's transformed me. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Sherry S. from Wisconsin. And next we have Sarah.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Perfect. Yeah, I have always had a connection with God, and I have loved him for it. And he does heal the place in my heart. I struggle more so with people and how messy they are and not following my script and my dialogue. And I say, okay, God, what do you say about this situation that I'm mad at my dog and want to go have something to eat? He says, well, just forgive him for being a dog. Like, he's going to do things he's not supposed to. Like, you're right, God, you're right. And then just the peace that he brings. There's a song that I've been singing just, you're the sweetest part of my day. not in a hurry to leave. You're the sweetest part of my day. The world can wait. And I just, each time I sing that, it takes me back to like, whether I feel it or not, God, please make that real again to me, that you truly are the sweetest part of my day. And I'm not in a hurry to leave. I'm not, help me let go of the anxiety of I got to go, I got to get this done and that done, but instead just to sit with you and sing that song. You're the sweetest part of my day, not in a hurry to leave. And that's really been helping me with the anxiety and the anger and the pain from putting the food down. I don't always remember to sing it, but it does help. So thank you so much. With that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much. I think it was Sarah P. All right, we have time. Oh, sorry.
Sarah T is in Tom.
Ah, Sarah T. All right, thanks, Sarah. We have time for two more, maybe 2 minute shares. Who would like to share?
Where was Sarah from?
Sarah, would you be able to share where you're from, Sarah T?
Colorado.
Thanks.
Thank you. Would anyone like to share? We have time for two-minute shares. Or we can do a 1 3-minute share.
Hi, this is Suze from New Jersey. Good morning.
Good morning. Is it Suze?
Yes, S-U-Z-E from New Jersey, Eastern Time. And good morning.
All right.
I
go ahead, Suze.
I've been listening to the wonderful, fabulous program to this morning, really underscoring my step two and everything after that. When I heard Pride and Prejudice, I didn't think of other religions and spiritualities, and that is huge. That is huge. What I thought of were the survival techniques that I used that hurt me and everybody else in my life in order to, you know, feel good about myself, and why it's so important to follow the steps, but even more so that it's not that I didn't believe in myself or I didn't believe in a God or a higher power. I didn't believe that higher power believed in me. And that just knocks me over. So that's my 2-minute share for this morning. Sue's compulsive overeater happily, happily helped in this program and recovered. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Suze. All right, we have time for a 2-minute share if anybody would like to share on this small but powerful paragraph. Anybody? Any takers? All right, if there's nobody else who would like to share, then we can go ahead and close the meeting. Thank you to everyone who shared, and thank you to Team Monday for your service. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. The share ID for today, Monday, April the 8th, 2024, is 21,292, 21292. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Tamara C. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only, through to keep you until then.
This is Tamara C., a recovered compulsive overeater in Missouri. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thanks, Tamara C. We'll just wait for the recording.